Chapter 1, 1628. The child sails in a crowded boat to the end of the Zuiderzee. Past the foreshores of shipyards and warehouses, past new stone houses and the occasional steeple, on this day of dull weather, persistent drizzle, and sneaking cold. There are many layers to this child. Undergarments, middle garments, and top garments. Micah is made of pale skin and small white teeth and fine fair hair, and linen and lace and wool and leather. There are treasures sewn into the seams of her clothing, small and valuable, like her. Micah has a father she's never met. Her father is a merchant who lives in a distant land where the midday sun is fierce enough to melt a Dutch child. Her father has a marble mansion, so she's told. He has a legion of servants and stacks of gold dishes. He has chestnut stallions and dapple mares. Red and white roses grow around his doorway. They twine together, blood and snow mixed. By day, the roses raise their faces to the sun. By night, they empty their scent into the air. Cut them, and they'll live only an hour. Their thorns are vicious and will take out an eye. Micah's father left just before she was born. Micah's mother would boast about the absent man, so wholesomely dedicated to the making of wealth, so staunch in the face of native unrest and strange pestilences. But she had no intention of joining her husband, being too delicate for such a perilous journey. Micah doubted this. Her mother had sturdy calves and a good appetite. She had a big laugh and glossy curls. Her mother was as durable as a well-built cabinet, until a baby got stuck inside her. Micah must not say a word about the baby, because it shouldn't have been up there in the first place. She has practiced with her nursemaid.
Your mother, she's dead?
Yes, from the bloody flux.
How did your mother die, Micah?
My mother died from the bloody flux, Imke.
Tell me, child, how is your mother?
She's dead, unfortunately, from the bloody flux.
Bloody flux, says Micah, to the rhythm of the oars and the slap of the water on the bow of the boat that rocks her towards the East Indiaman.
Bloody flux, she answers to the cows swung on high. They bellow as they are lowered into the ship.
Bloody flux, she says,
to the people that swarm over her decks. The sailors and fine merchants, the plume-hatted soldiers, and the bewildered passengers.
Bloody flux, she replies,
to the pip-pip-pip-toot of trumpeters relaying commands. The ship waits in the water. Around her, a chaos of people and goods are loaded from a flotilla of vessels, like flies circling a patient mare.
Bloody flux, that is a big ship.
She is beautiful. Her upper works are painted green and yellow, and at her prow, oh, best of all, crouches a carved red lion. His golden mane curls, his claws sink into the beam. He snarls down at the water. Micah's boat rocks round the ship's bowed belly. High up, the ship is lovely, with her bright gunwale and curved balustrades and stern decks reaching up, up into the sky. Lower down, she's a fortress, an armoured hull studded with close-set, square-headed nails, already rusting. Micah cries out,
"The ship is bleeding!"
A passenger sitting on the plank seat opposite laughs. "The iron nails keep the shipworms out. They love to eat fresh, juicy wood." The passenger leans forward and demonstrates with his finger on Micah's cheek. "They burrow and twist and gnaw tiny holes." Fortunately, Micah too has teeth. The man recoils. "She bit me!"
"You poked her."
The nursemaid turns to the child.
"What are you? A stoat? A rat? A puppy? Put your teeth away."
The man, good-naturedly, raises one gloved hand.
"No harm done."
He wears the black costume of a preacher, a prédicant. There is a Mrs. Prédicant in a gown cut from the same cloth. Between them, a line of children, big to small, dressed in the same dark wool as their parents. All with clean white collars. A minister and his family dressed for a portrait.